I'm sipping.
All right, so this is Sipping with Sammy. I am Sipping with Sammy, Sam Malone, Barstool Rug. If you ain't sipping with Sammy, you ain't sipping right. Get your fucking life together. And I got Soph with me.
Yo, I'm in the building.
My nigga. And we got a special guest in the Situation Room with us today.
Hey.
Soph, she actually turns out to be family via Wes.
Oh, okay, fam.
Yeah. This is Show Book.
What's good, y'all? What's up?
A good energy that I acquired.
Hey, man, listen.
Generically, recently.
Yeah. Real talk. I was on the Glocka with Fly Day Radio. That joint. Listen, that joint was lit.
That's what's
Fly
up.
Fly Boy Radio. That joint was lit.
And I'm glad you enjoyed
yourself. I missed that. But guess what? I felt your energy when I was at Center 215's release.
Yeah, the other night.
A listening party. And I didn't even know that we were going to be meeting. And
that's
I saw
crazy.
For like 2 seconds at the table. But I was like, dang, she's cool. Like, it was 2.2 seconds. But I'm really, really into energy.
Yeah, man.
Well, he even saw,
that's
he's like, yeah.
Hit. She gotta keep me on my shit.
To keep you on your shit, bro.
Yeah. No, but when he was like, interviewing the show, but I was like, yo, I was like, I just see her. I was like, she's really already dope. Like, I felt it already.
Yeah,
so.
I be chilling, man. I be in a cut. Like,
yeah, no, but you know what? That's really how you know that you already like a star, because even when you be in the cut, you don't even be in the cut because you didn't even know I peeped you and you was.
I had no clue.
Crazy, right?
No, I had no clue, like, yo. It's crazy. Yeah, man. That was a good event, too.
Yeah. Shout out
to Son of the 215.
That's my guy. We've been supporting him forever. I grew up with him, so
that's what's up, man. Yeah, that was a nice little joint put together.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It actually inspired me to put an album release together for my project.
Word. And matter of fact, I had tagged K Fine Productions, the lady on the boards right now, on your post and said that she might have some ideas for you for spots y'all should talk before you get out of here.
Nice.
Figure it out, because indoor, outdoor, we got all type of venues on
deck. Nice.
Mm-hmm. And that's for y'all too, man. Hit Font Productions, Font Philly on Instagram and make sure y'all get right.
Yeah,
but
man.
One of the things about Shell Book, you know me, I start from the beginning
right.
of meeting people.
The tippy tippy.
She was early when she came to Fly Day.
I was.
Okay.
And that's at 4 p.m., you know what I mean, on a Friday.
Right. That's a lot.
She was early. By the time we was ready to start, her tripod was set up. She was recording herself. Yeah. And she had already engaged everybody in the room and was showing love already before we got on air. It was none of them pre-air jitters.
Right.
It was, let me get my business right and let me treat the people right.
Yeah.
She ain't know what she was getting herself into.
I had no idea.
You know what I mean? I kind of
noticed. It was dope, though, man.
I know
the
it was.
Energy was crazy, man.
It was just like crazy. The whole experience was a pleasure. So I appreciate
it. I appreciate you for having me on. Seriously.
So what happens is the night that y'all speaking about now, which was this Friday night, at the Son of the 215 event that just passed, Bug came up to me and said, I'm trying to get on your podcast, yo.
I'm like, what's up, bro? I'm trying
and
to get
I'm on. Like, why not? What's up? I'm like, when you trying to do it, we can figure out something soon. She like, gotta do it in the next couple weeks. I got something coming up, or we could do it after that. I said, you know what? We're going to do it before that.
Yeah.
So here she is. Like,
it
ain't no bullshit. A couple days later, she here.
I'm here. Right.
She held her own. So yeah. I appreciate all of that about
Real
you.
Talk.
But
I'm
going to let Soph talk to you because I talked to you already. Go ahead, talk
so,
to
her. No, you know what? Tell me and the people a little bit about yourself. Like I said, as soon as I even just came in, you know, your area, your energy was positive and it was embracing. And we didn't even
appreciate
have any
that,
words.
Man.
I want to just say that we didn't even exchange any words, really.
Yeah, like at all. Like, real talk.
So I was just at the table with Hennessy Kev. Shout out to my bro, Hennessy Kev.
Facts.
1122.
Absolutely.
Facts.
And I was at the table and that's when I met you. But tell the people about you. Who was Shell Book?
Man, listen, Shell Book is a lot.
See that?
Listen,
I own S Book Productions.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm a music engineer. A videographer. That's S Book Films.
Listen.
Show Book is the artist under all of that. I shoot videos, engineer music.
Shot a video today, goddammit.
Shot a video today before I got here. Shout out to my man Desi, the artist.
Word.
That's my goddaughter's father. That's my bro.
Okay.
Word.
But yeah, so I'm just a well-rounded individual. I'm down to earth. You know, when I make music, I'm pulling from like real situations, real feelings, you know. And if I'm not at that point when I'm writing from a perspective where I'm telling a story about something or someone that I know, you know what I mean? So I gauge into that and I write. So it's still a part of my feelings because I've still personally experienced it from other people. Mm-hmm. So.
And you have me on your identity and your originality.
For sure. And I'm heavy.
Been in the game for a minute. So
listen, I've been in the game for a
long time ago.
I'm gonna tell you, I've been.
No, that's important,
yeah. Bro. Like I've been in the game for a while, just making music. Mm-hmm. When my mom had passed away, I kind of stopped. And
God bless.
Yeah, and I just jumped back on point because I actually lived in Atlanta for like 3 years.
I was sensing something. I was waiting for you to finish.
I told her the same thing when I interviewed her the first time.
Yeah, I sensed something. I was going to wait for you to finish, but I was going to ask you, are you originally from Philly? Or because I feel some other demographic.
You know, you are. So I was born in Philadelphia by my mother and my father, but I was like raised in New York.
Okay.
In Brooklyn. My sister took custody of me at the time when my mom was going through some things.
Which is a blessing that your sister would do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I got, it's six of us. So I'm the baby. Right. Out of six. So my oldest sister took me in, and I lived in New York for years. I went to school out there, everything. And summertime, I come back to Philly, then I go to school in New York. So I'm like well-versed when it comes to like different cities.
Right.
I'm a gypsy. Like people used to call me a gypsy because I would get up and just move. Be like, all right, I'm out, y'all, peace.
Right, we discussed that on Fly Day. Yeah. Like being having to move so much young makes you able to adapt to different rooms, environments, cultures, all type of stuff.
And I was in foster care too. So like at that point when I was younger, like I didn't have my parents in my life. I was living with strangers. So I had to learn how to adapt at an early age when it comes to certain things. So my music is a form of me adapting to my environments and me writing about it, you know what I'm saying, and me being present in the situations.
And that's what I was going to ask too. So I know a lot of people tend to write. It's a form of maybe a release. How early did you start writing?
Oh man,
in any form,
fourth grade, I was a journalist in school for the school paper.
Okay,
so that was my first initial.
I can respect that. Y'all know I can respect that.
I was a nerd in school, so like initially, that was my first form of like writing anything. When my musicality came into place, I was like 12. You know what I'm saying?
It's still early.
I was 12, yeah, and I wrote my first rap. And I told this on the other.
I was 11, 12.
Yeah, I was like 11, 12. And I wrote it. And my nephew thought it was the hottest thing ever. I thought it was trash. he was bigging me up. He's like, go ahead, rap that joint. I was like, I don't want to rap that joint in front of people.
Let me hear it.
I don't even remember that joint.
Talk about their first rap, I ask them. Some people remember.
I don't. You know what I'm saying? I had it like on a, y'all remember that line paper in school that was like dark tan?
Mm-hmm.
Used to write I had stole a bunch of that from school. It was
writing
on it.
The Long Jones, right?
Yeah. I had writing on that joint, big letters and all that. But I recorded my first song when I was 17.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
But that's how you know it's natural.
Right.
From fourth grade to sixth grade to 11th grade. Something never changed about your trajectory, no matter what life go through a lot of shit from 11 to 17.
Yeah.
Like it's a lot of we talked about that. Like when you move at certain ages, with the ciphers, where you from?
Right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Shit like that.
Yeah.
Like it's real. So it's just dope that all three of us could say that.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'll let Saif tell you about her legacy and the legacy that she's a part of. But early on, whether we were paying attention to it or not, getting our voices heard in some form or fashion was important to us.
Absolutely.
And not for selfish reasons.
Yeah.
We weren't looking to write about ourselves.
Right. Nah.
Except for music, you have to give yourself at certain points.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it was the art of writing, the art of being heard,
the
art
of
being dope. Yes. Just being ill, like knowing that I'm good at this.
Yeah.
And this isn't something that everybody's naturally able to adapt to.
Right.
And mind you, we all have different strengths. Some people spell better than others. Some people structure better than others.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go through it enough, you figure it out if it's what you're supposed to do. So that's ill.
Ill.
I like that.
You got to always work on it, right? You got to work on your art. Whatever your passion or purpose is, you're going to have strengths and weaknesses.
Yeah.
But you got to maintain, like you said, you always say, talk about consistency.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that rings to me
every
when I think about
needs
you.
Consistency.
And I think if you're consistent, you're going to always build upon what you have. No matter if you're good, you're going to be great. If you're great, going to be excellent. If you're excellent, you can get the perfect. You know what I mean?
Yep. It's
but
stages.
It takes that work. It takes that constant work.
One of the most profound things Meek ever said was that there's levels to this shit.
Everybody
took it as a way to stun on people, but there's levels to
everything
in life.
I'm about to pause.
If you don't go through shifts, you ain't living.
No, listen, pause. I'm about to call our homie. Shout out to Shay. I was on the phone with her today. I was on the phone with her today, and I said the best thing Meek ever said was his levels to this shit. And I said, because it can be applied to any industry, any life, anything. Yo, I just said this on my way down here.
And I support Meek. I ain't the biggest Meek fan in the world.
Yeah.
But I support Meek because I like
what that shit doing. Was profound.
I've seen him from day one.
Because you know what I mean? You could tell when he was writing that and when he came up with that line, he's experienced multiple levels and different points of his life.
That made other points not even mean as much.
For him and to he's define trying to explain that to you that statement. You can
feel that way too.
Period.
You can feel that way too. You could go through shit and be like, this the end all be all to everything. And then look back 6 months later like, yo, we was bugging. This what it's about. Yeah. But you supposed to do that.
Period.
That's life. Whether you in the streets, in business, in school, that's what motherfuckers, homies and all that, that's what we look to each other. That's what we celebrate.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Your accomplishment. You bought a new house. You got a raise at your gig.
You
got a new gig. You know what I mean? You started your own business.
Yeah.
Like, when it comes to that, those are levels.
Period.
And mind you, a level up isn't always a level up financially.
Right. It could be a you level up spiritually. You start your own business,
you
will
struggle for a dime. Yeah. But you put yourself in this different position, and you bet on yourself, and that's to be respected.
Yeah.
Just like you. You didn't bet on yourself blindly. You bet on yourself and you taught yourself and learned ways to do multiple things to be self-sustainable.
Yes. Yes.
So that whenever you had to move again, you could still do the shit.
You know what it was too? Because I got tired of dealing with bullshitters. People that
you spend a lot
I
of
had
money for
to,
bullshit.
Listen.
You pay for bullshit.
People I got to chase down to get my money to. Like, yo, you say this is your business. Why do I have to chase you down to give you my service?
Right.
If this is a service that you're trying to publicize, advertising. It was very baffling to me. So that's why I learned to do the things that I needed to do for myself to make myself as an artist be on point, because I was tired of dealing with people in Philly that was bullshitting. Because bullshitting out here.
You know I know. It's a lot of them. And like, that's why I recommend certain people and other people. I just let them live. And I don't hate on nobody.
No, it's no
reason. You can't
reason
slow down what I got going on. Period, so it's man. No reason Period. For me to bad mouth you. Mm-hmm.
But one thing about me, I'm honest. Like, I think that's what I pride myself in, is being honest. And I don't bite my tongue about certain things. Mm-hmm. So, like, when I'm speaking, like,
please,
I don't really have a fear of being blackballed. One of those, that mentality that people have because they be so hush-hush and scared. I'm not. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to say what I need to say.
I think
because God governs everything that I'm doing in my life. Mm-hmm. No man can say that I can't do this and can't do that. So I don't believe in the mindset of blackballing me.
Yeah, I think blackball shit is a myth. I think if you care about being blackballed, then you're only looking at one aspect of what you're trying to, or one response to what you're trying to do. Like, if you're worried about the internet blackballing you, then you're worried about a bunch of chatter instead of about business.
And not even for the people.
You can still get business from them hating on you.
Right.
That's an imprint.
Right. As they say, like all new good things, right? Bad news are indifferent.
Right.
But my whole thing is, besides of being worried about being blackballed, I also think of to the people who are doing the blackballing, that shows, for me, weakness.
Period.
You're listening to, like, one side of a story. You don't even know what's going on. You're minding somebody else's business.
Yeah.
However you want to look at it, I see weakness in them.
That's so, what it is. You it's fragile ego. That's all it be.
So you gonna throw in my, all right, perfect example. And I said this before on here, I think. I was taught at a young age, if you don't care about something, you don't mention it. You don't give it energy. You don't give it attention.
Right.
If you throw up 30 fucking tweets about me, I'm your best friend. You're my biggest fan. Add up that you hate me, but I get all your
attention.
Energy.
Right.
Like, I don't want to give any large percentage of my energy to anything that I hate.
Right.
If I hate it, I acknowledge it, and I turn the corner and try to avoid that shit.
Absolutely.
I'm not fighting to get pulled into it, because you know what happened once I speak on it?
Yeah.
Somebody speaks back.
You bring a life into the situation.
And now it's an ongoing thing, and now you got all these people talking.
You're attracting more negativity. It doesn't even make sense.
I want to get to the shit I like today at some point. And most of you motherfuckers do this shit before breakfast, so you start off on a bad foot.
Goofy, man.
It don't make sense.
They drink a cup of Goofy early in the
morning. gangbanging over bacon.
Yeah.
Like, don't even make sense. Like, what did bacon do to you?
Listen.
But, you know, when people are happy with themselves, or when people are not even necessarily happy, because sometimes we all go through periods of introspective and shifting and trying to figure things out. But when you're even at that point, it's noticeable.
Yeah.
Right. It comes across in your energy, your conversation, your music, your art, stuff like that. Like, it comes across that you're being introspective, that you're trying to be a better you.
Absolutely.
And that you're aware of what drives you or motivates you or moves you.
Yeah.
Which takes us back to what I was saying about you earlier. That's a sense that I get from you, that you are very aware of what the fuck you want to do in this world.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I know my purpose.
Yeah.
I really do.
And you wear a lot of hats.
I'm in tune with it.
Wear a lot of hats, but they're all for one common goal.
All for one common goal.
I noticed that too when you were mentioning, when you were giving us the introduction about yourself. Like, you're diversified. I think people need to know that as well, because they're all common goals. They're all related in some way, but they're also different in some way as well.
Absolutely.
But they work together.
And they all will sustain you. It'll be a check coming from here. I know somebody that wears similar hats to her. Mm-hmm. And he, at one point, he was charging $25 an hour, no matter which one you want. You want photographer, you want videographer, you want studio time, whatever. But at the same time, this man all day in the hood with a whack in his pocket is smoking as much as he want and living. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because at some point of every day, somebody got a couple $25 for you.
Somebody got something.
and it is what it is. And I thought that was dope. And I looked at it. I knew with him, it was a way of, like, you know, having less and wanting to be able to do, and knowing that if you can do for others, then you can support what you're trying to do. You know, just financially at first. And then he built a name for himself where now he's a part of people's legacies.
Right.
Wow.
And that's the same thing that you'll do. You'll make somebody's favorite video ever. You'll engineer somebody's biggest record ever. And that's beyond
that
what
like
your music
cousin.
Does.
Like your little cousin that heard that first, your first record was like, yo, like, yo, spit that joint. Like, even from then, like, you was already making the mark then. So you was like, I'm trying. You already did that joint. And you just going to keep doing it and go
And I had the same thing. I was horrible. But my little brother used to dub and burn everything
I was there.
My voice was on.
I was there,
everything. And I ain't going to lie. I had moments. Like, I had a couple records, like, okay. But then I had Joe's like, what the fuck, yo? And he kept all that shit. And it was just like, that was enough. Because at the time, I'm not going to lie, I didn't start out wanting really for everybody to hear my shit. I just always correct. And my neighborhood knew it and stuff like that. I wanted to freestyle battle all day. I never cared about a studio.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But then I started hanging around people that were serious, and I started writing with them. Not realizing that was going to make me have to go to the studio, just... you know, back in the day, used to write raps just to have them for the next cypher.
Yeah. We going to take it back. I was actually going to say, when you were saying you started in fourth grade, for me, it was sixth grade. And all of the girls, because we went to the same middle school, elementary school and middle school.
Scary.
But all of the girls, and I'm still here, right? But anyway, but all of the girls, we had like, all the girls, we used to come back with poems all the day. The guys used to be rapping, and the girls, we used to come back with our poems every day. Like, that's we said, or the weekend, we used to have to come back, and we just had to have whoever had the best poems.
Yeah.
So it was funny when I remember us writing
rapping
and coming back, you said, for the next cypher, whatever it was. Like, we really
prepare for it.
The
lunch table battles.
It was respect to have a notebook full of rhymes.
Yeah.
Only five of them might have been dope, but just having a notebebook full was respect because they knew
books,
you was working
the
your
black
pen.
White Jones.
Motherfuckers knew you was working
absolutely
your pen. But it's funny because even talking about that, like when you talk about fourth grade and all that, I think fifth or sixth grade I got published for poetry.
Mm-hmm.
But in either fifth or sixth grade, I also had a teacher that I had a creative writing class where she told me, you can write raps. All you want to write is raps.
Who was that said that?
But Lady Dalman.
Oh, okay.
Ms. Wilson at the time.
Uh-huh.
And she was like, but you have to get in class, in front of the class, and perform them, and they have to be clean. But if that's going to shut you up, then go ahead and write your raps. Basically, was what she
go
was saying.
Go write your raps.
That was fifth grade. Us.
Yeah, it's fifth grade.
That was
so
fifth grade.
I was performing in front of a class full of, you know, the roughest critics at the time when you were that age.
Yeah.
And we used to love to do it. And then we did the talent shows when you doing other people's songs. I'm doing AZ Sugar Hill.
Yo.
And, you know,
we
stuff like
Fugees.
That. We did the Fuji Live joint.
Dope.
And stuff like that. But it was just like we always wanted. We always was writing, but we always was performing. We always was in front of people.
Yeah.
And that was comfortable for us. It wasn't always comfortable. Like I said, performing brand new rap I wrote 5 minutes ago in front of classroom is crazy.
Yeah.
But at the same time, everybody remembers that time and they like, I see what you're doing now. You always loved that
shit. Right, always.
You always loved it, whether it's being a rapper or being media. They like, you've been hip-hop, bro.
You know what's crazy, too? Not only was I doing music, I played basketball. I was like an all-star basketball player. Like, that was my thing.
Really,
I swear I was going to go to the NBA or something. At the time, it wasn't no WNBA.
Right.
So NBA was like, I'm going to be first woman in the NBA.
No, that was the thing at one time. Like, the Slam used to put women on the cover in Knicks jerseys. Like, she the next.
Listen,
she the first
man,
one.
When I bought,
Shamika
I bought
like Cheryl Miller and all
Shamika Holeslaw was like one of my biggest players that I loved because I was trying to go to Tennessee.
She overseas though.
Yeah, I was trying to go play for Tennessee State. That was like my thing. Yeah, mm-hmm. So like I was really in the ball.
Shamika was tough.
Tough. Crazy, man.
Woo. Tamika, yeah. Sherlin, man, Candace. We done seen some over the years that was real deal monsters.
That was my thing. And then like music was like an accidental thing.
What position you played in ball?
I was a point guard.
You was a point guard?
Yeah, I had a handle.
Ooh.
Yeah, my game was stupid.
See, this is...
I was dumb.
I've learned, like, I believe that people play the sports the way that they live life. I had a coach that told me that before.
Ah, that's a good analogy. That's a real good analogy, man.
I'm learning. Every little thing you say, I'm picking up something different. You see what I'm saying? So that point guard thing, I'm rocking with you.
Yeah.
But go ahead. So the music.
So the music was just like an accidental thing. It was just on some like I'm bored type time stuff. But I love to write because I used to write stories. I used to write scary stories and all types of crazy stuff in my little composition book or whatnot. So I just started rapping because like I started watching like BET. I was finally allowed to watch like BET and MTV and stuff like that. So the rappers was on there. So I just started writing my little raps and stuff like that. And I remember like only my nephew knew I was rapping. Nobody knew. And then I had moved back with my mom for the summer. And my brother, he had just moved with us temporarily. So he was a DJ and he used to make beats. Mm. So he was like playing this beat or whatever. Mm. So I was rapping one of the raps I memorized in my head. He looked at me like I was crazy. Like, he's like, yo, you rap? He's like, oh, take this beat and I want you to write to it. So I wrote to it and it was a Nina Simone sample of Misunderstood.
I love
and Nina. I actually, the funny thing is I got the song and I got the song and he sent me that song.
That's my shit.
He sent me that joint because I was like, bro, you still got that joint? He keep everything. So he sent me that joint. I was like, yo, I was like 17. I was 17 when I recorded this joint in the crib.
That's
dope. It was dope, man. Like little stuff like that. You know, I just love music. It's just a part of my DNA. My dad plays six instruments. True. You know what I'm saying? My dad, he got an incredible voice. He can sing. Mm. So I've been around music.
You ever did a record with him?
Nah, never. My dad's actually locked up for life in prison.
God bless.
My dad actually,
hold your head,
God willing, he getting out because he just got approved for this new program they got where they letting lifers out.
Yep.
And he got an account number now.
Yep.
So he's on the list. Yeah, he on the list.
Right.
So listen, God willing, he getting out.
That blessing happen, make that happen.
For sure, man. That's going to be the joy of my life when my pop get out. Like, I'm excited about
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. But so, it's funny because, you know, it's weird because multiple things.
That's a dope name for a song or album, too, the joy of my life.
Ah.
It just stuck to me when you said that.
But joy of my life. Multiple things brought me to this question. Mm-hmm. And your dad being, that actually, what's your favorite record you ever made? Is it your newest music or is it something sentimental to you from the past? Is it something like the record you just said? You know what I mean? What's your favorite
record? My favorite thing that I created? Dang. Yeah. Ooh, I never had nobody
and
ask
And I know
me
they
all
your babies.
They know my little kids.
Neglect, I'm not telling you to neglect not one child. But we got different reasons for different things.
Honestly, I could say the most favorite joint I wrote is the one song on my album. It's called Pillow Talk because I wrote it for my girl. Because it was like when we first start dating last year, I was like in a heavy mood where I was creating a whole lot of music. I was just pumping that joint out every day, every week.
Working.
Because I work, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I don't let tell nobody where I work at on air, but I tell y'all afterwards. So I had my schedule was crazy and whatnot.
Right.
And, when I met my girl, you know what I'm saying? We had like a crazy connection. So it started inspiring me to write
differently.
So I wrote Pillow Talk about her. That was for her. That was like, that's one of my favorite tracks.
And that opened a new door in your realm too, though.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you could take it there.
It was dope. Like, that's what's up. I love it. So, like, and it challenged me vocally when I was singing and putting an arrangement together. And I actually made it an intro because I never finished the song. So I made it an intro, but I'm going to actually finish the song and shoot a video for it. Dope. I think I'm going to do that.
Are you going to finish the song and make it an outro? Like,
it's an intro on the album.
Right, right. So,
when you put the whole thing together, how you going to present that?
Right.
I'm going to just do it in the video. They just going to have to watch the video to get like the whole thing.
It's 2020. You could do it however the fuck you want.
You can do whatever you want in 2020,
damn. Listen,
man. 2019, you can do whatever you want, but 2020,
God damn. 2020,
God. Ain't even nobody in the labels.
No rules in 2020.
You can be signed this year and do whatever you want. Ain't nobody in them offices. They don't know.
Ain't no rules for 2020.
None.
out the door.
I hate 2020, man.
Listen.
You know what, man? We blessed to still be here. It feels like survival of the fittest, which seems insensitive, but we knew times like this was going to come. We didn't know they was going to come in this form.
Like this. Unexpected, right. Man.
But what we do is we support. We hold down our neighbors, our family, and all of that. We reprioritize, we re-strategize, and we build to be greater. Because if you do survive this motherfucker, you want to be prepared.
It's like
for
a
the
video
next
game.
Time. You want to be prepared for the next time they tell you you're not going to house for 9 months. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, you don't want to be caught off guard next time. Like, now that we know this is possible, new priorities.
Fuck you know what? I just think Christ at the end of the day to for keeping me. Like steadfast through this whole epidemic thing, I praise God for not receiving COVID or catching any diseases.
I finally admitted to something today that I ain't said this whole time, which is if it wasn't for me having the progressions that I've had and the personal things that I've wanted to do in these last few years, my mindset would have been way different hitting this time right now.
Yeah.
And the blessing is that I have so much to look forward to and so much work to do, and I have to still keep things going so much. And going into it, I was aware that it wasn't going to be 2 weeks.
Right.
It was probably going to be the year.
You said that a long time ago, from day one.
Super early. Because I got all the emails. In 1 week, everything that I was scheduled to do was canceled till August.
Yeah.
And I was like, so this is the people that got to cancel shit now. It's more to come.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because when you have an event, you're talking about sponsors, insurances. Right. All type of things that, like,
it's
you got to have that done early. Yeah. So it ain't no picking it back up in June and saying we're going to throw it in July or August. No, it's over. It's over.
Yeah.
So since I wrapped my head around that, I bought the little electric bike, got some color books with some color pencils.
Them joints is dope.
You know what I mean? Got hip-hop joints, tattoo joints. Like, like cool shit.
Them joints
cool stuff. Just,
dope.
Like, stuff that I knew if I ever got to that point, I'm going to just go breathe.
In a
way that I probably haven't allowed myself to in the last 20 years or so, because I've been so busy on this will we all on.
Right.
You know what I mean? I've been through as much as you probably been through in the last few years, even moving around.
Yeah.
From place to place. Me too. In the last 15, 20 years, it's been a lot for me. Not for the same reasons.
Right.
But also for the same purpose, because we still meet at the common bridge.
Correct.
You see
what
I'm saying?
Yeah.
Our experience has brought us here.
Yeah.
So I don't regret any of them. But my optimism in these times come directly from being able to do things like this. Being able to know that Safiya is happy doing this. Being able to know that I have people that I'm giving opportunities to every time that I do this.
Amen.
And the responsibility of the fact that I might neglect that.
Right.
Like, I don't want to not have an opportunity, Shell Bug coming on, and I'm on some other shit because I'm in my bag today.
Right.
And I never would have met you that day.
Period.
And I don't reschedule motherfuckers. Like, you know what I'm saying? So I don't expect her to want to reschedule.
Right.
Like, I ain't gonna put that on you.
That's real.
So it's like the way I operate, like, I'm just happy that I was where I was at and I had who I had around me when this happened.
Blessings.
When this happened.
Blessings.
Those is and financially, we decent. We ain't good. But after this, we gonna figure out a way to be great.
Exactly.
Amen.
So
that's what
I ain't
about.
Tripping. Like
the
I said, we was just talking about being able to donate to other people.
Period.
That's a blessing.
That's what I'm into.
The win is in the work.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's a blessing.
To be able to is
all we can ask to do. But let's not get too deep, Saf.
No, that was deep, because I'm just appreciating even like you were saying, like, you hate 2020, and I kind of do too. But at the same time, I'm appreciating the blessings too. Like, I'm still here. You know, my kids is healthy. I'm still getting to a dollar.
Yeah.
You know, everything didn't stop for me. So
blessings.
Although, you know, we rumbling, because I really feel like I'm rumbling right now. Like, I don't know what round I'm in. I think we going.
Nobody knows
what they fighting.
This shit.
We don't
like
even
like
know
15.
If it's jujitsu, MMA, boxing. We don't even know who we fighting.
No, I don't.
We just know we can't breathe like we used to. We out of
the
breath.
The mask is like, the mask is another level for me. You know what I'm saying? Just to have something covering my face.
Yo, I just went to the gym.
You know how much
for the
symbolism comes through this, though? And you know how much art is going to come out of this?
Absolutely.
Like, you know, this is, we'll have a whole nother renaissance. I've been saying that since March. We're going to have a whole nother renaissance when this is over.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to everything artistic.
Mm-hmm.
What people write about the experience, what they capture during these times.
Because you know why? Because people were first forced to be isolated to create. If you're a creator, that space was forced for you to be isolated to create something.
Or you had
great.
The opportunity to get out there and get some shit you wasn't going to get before.
I'm going to keep it a band with you. this pandemic throughout here, I started shooting videos in the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
That taught myself how to be a videographer in the mm-hmm. pandemic. I mm-hmm. studied it. And I've been, and I remember, it's so funny how, like, you ever look at your Facebook posts, the memories mm-hmm. that come up on your timeline? I remember in 2018, I was talking about, I want to be a videographer. I'm about to get this camera. I'm searching for cameras. And now I'm actually doing it. So,
how did you teach yourself?
No, hold on. Before we get to how you taught yourself, what was the excuse for you not doing it before, and what changed?
The excuse was I was in my own way. That was,
that wasn't a reason. That was an excuse.
Yeah, I was in my own way. That okay. was the real. That's the real answer.
We gotta be clear.
Yeah, I was in my own way the way.
See, I know she know herself, so I asked.
Because if I don't listen, because if I don't admit that I wasn't in my own way, I'm not taking accountability for what I've lacked doing in the past. You feel me? Mm-hmm. Taking accountability is a form of growing. So I was in my, and I've been in my own way for a long time. I just recently decided to get out of my way because my connection with God allowed me to, because I kept getting prophesied over my life. And I'm like, if God telling me that he's opening around for me to do these things, why am I not doing these things? It don't make sense. So let me put some momentum forward and create and do the things. And I don't even know where I'm creating from at this point. I just know I need to create, because that's what God said, dude.
Right.
And now I'm doing it. So now with that small portion of door that opened for me to create, the pandemic hit, I got isolated. Then it forced me to create even more. So the output was more and more and more and more. And then I said, oh, by the way, I'm going to release an album. That was a last minute decision. That wasn't a decision that I, now, be me being in my own way, we get back to that. I was talking about that in 2018. I was in a bad relationship at the time. That didn't work out. You know what I'm saying? And I allowed myself to get back in my own way and built this wall up, you know what I'm saying, to not create.
People in their walls.
You feel me? Mm-hmm. So now when I finally decided to say, hey, look, I'm just going to do what God told me to do. Just be obedient and do it. Because sometimes, like, you'll get, and I'm not trying to get churchy or preachy or whatever,
talk
but, like,
shit.
This is what God, like, I'm out of a relationship with Jesus Christ. Like, I get spoke make over me all bad. The time when I go to church. I don't even be expecting it. They be like, yo, you, come here. It's like God be having something to tell me. And sometimes, that's why I know I feel like I can't miss church on Sundays, because I be feeling like, yo, if I don't go, I can't get something that God is trying to give to me. Like, I feel like I'm not going to be in alignment if I don't go. You feel them? If I miss it, I'm not going to, you feel me? So, like, just me creating and me making an album, it's just like last minute. Oh, by the way, I'm going to do an album. I did it. And I pushed through. Majority of the album was done. Them songs was from 2018.
Oh, I'm in a similar situation
done.
Right now myself.
Done.
Somebody
I went
told
to the
me
studio to record
ready.
Three songs with an engineer. By the way, shout out to Prince Alexander, my guy. That's my homie,
shout
Rotation
out.
Records.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Shout out to Rotation, too.
Yeah. Went to go do three songs with him. Boom, album was done. You feel me? So I was like, now I'm finally getting out my own way. Now it's time for me to grind. Because since the album is done, you're not finished when the album done. Now the marketing campaign begins. Now you got to network yourself. Now you got to make yourself known to let people know who you are. You got to promote. You got to shoot a video. You know, it's all of these things that come into play and being an artist. I feel for the artist, because honestly, I don't really want to be the artist. I'm only the artist because it's only a way for me to showcase to get in the door. Then I want to be an A&R.
Right,
like, that's what I'm trying to get in. I'm trying to be an A&R because I want to help other artists. My mindset is executive producing constantly. I'm always looking. I'm always coming up with ideas for the artists and to allow them to showcase and bring out their creativity.
She's
and their
speaking my heart.
And their passions. That's what I get to thrive off
that's
of.
That's my shit.
Me personally, I know, like, God gave me this gift. I could create any given time, any day I want to. So therefore, and I'm not taking that for granted, but it's just like I know it's never going to leave me because it's a part of my DNA. You feel me? It's part of my DNA. It's never going to leave me.
You done did it this long.
I done did it this
you
long.
You done went through every form
of
fashion.
So now I feel like
music,
I need to be in a energy. Position to help other people, because I feel like there's a lot of talented artists that's being overlooked because of what somebody got to say, or a person that has the power to turn or switch on and off to make a judgment decision of anything. And if I can help it, I can help.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That's the position I want to be in. That's why I learned how to engineer and record and shoot videos. Like, I can manage your artists right now if I want to, but it's going to take energy away from
and
me.
A third of the budget.
It's going to take energy away from me and me getting in the door, because the faster I get in the door, the faster I can help other people.
Right.
Absolutely. Well,
that's
I told you on Fly Day, you're going to get everything you looking for.
Amen.
You know what I mean? Amen. You're going to get all of that. And shoot, you just gave your testimony right here.
Yeah, man.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And that's what it's about, because at the end of the day, we live in an age where, and you somebody that has a great support system. First of all, let me support out all the boogies. If you a boogie, I fucks with you. When she was on my show, the Glock line was going crazy.
Yeah,
the comments was going crazy on the YouTube. They are promoting, co-signing. They researching every word we said. She said, I think my rock album's still out there. They said, I just looked it up. It's still on such and such. This the link. I'm talking about in 2 minutes. You'd have thought she had her whole staff on the internet right. helping my staff.
Right, right.
Like, yo, they ain't going to do it. We got you. Right. But it was like, this is her support. This is real support. And it's crazy because I mentioned you yesterday. Mm. I was at the Platt, and shout out to Double D. Bumped into Double D. And Double D, Gilly, manager long back in the day,
nice.
OG of mine, helped me early in my career. As soon as he found out I was doing anything music related, he started making phone calls for me.
Nice.
You know
nice.
What I mean? He ain't had to hear nothing. He was like, well, that's what I know some people, and that's what he do.
Nice.
So he was asking Blessings. Me what I had going on with the pod, and I'm like, well, I got somebody dope coming through this week, Shell Bug. I just met her recently. She dope. Mm-hmm. She got a lot of support. Now, the first thing that he thought when I said support was followers.
Mm.
And I knew when I said it, like the way it landed in his response, like his face, I'm like, hold up, before you get to that, I'm talking about real support. People that call in, tap in, share, things like that.
Yeah.
Like promote, like not followers. Because if you ask me how many followers she had, I probably couldn't tell you. You know what I mean? I never look at people's page and judge yeah. them by followers. That's. Now, I yeah. might look at your followers for different things. You know what I look at followers for? Follower disparity. When you follow two people or you follow 20,000 people more than follow you.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, those things is, like, weird to me. Those are oddities. But those jump out. I don't have to look for those.
Yeah,
I see those when I come on your page.
That comes out.
But I don't judge people's support by their following. We see a lot of people that a lot of people like to watch train wrecks, but they wouldn't buy a t-shirt or a ticket to the venue for the same people that got 5 million followers.
Right.
Yeah, that's true, man.
But I literally was just talking about you and your support team. What you call them? Y'all ain't got a name yet?
Nah.
Boogies.
I like the boogies.
The boogies.
I like the boogies.
The shells.
No, I gotta figure something.
The boogies is hard. Boogie means get down.
It does.
The boogies.
Boogies is hard, but no, like they ride hard for you. But it's funny because
it's better than boogers.
Even
like the
with
boogers.
No, we never called them boogers.
I like boogers.
The boogies.
The
boogies is the shit.
The boogies.
But no. Well, you know what? They gonna vote on this in the comments when they see it anyway. They probably already told us on the live. But at the end of the day, like. It's respectable, and it's something that, like, is curated by her energy, by her traveling and going multiple places, and instead of making enemies, making connections.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I was going to get to that in regards to you moving around a lot. I think that that has, in any age, any regard, whenever you have to go into different places, you have to learn how to communicate.
You got to do that shit when you go to a new school in your neighborhood, the same city.
Yeah.
Like, for real.
For sure, but she already
mentioned. You might got to knock somebody out.
That she done been all around. Mm-hmm. So being in different places in different areas, you already have to be able to finagle and get in certain rooms.
And hold on, I'm not discrediting her. I'm
if
saying
you don't
like
stop cutting me off.
My bad. I'm just saying
I'm
how
holding one in my. You know, I got one in my roller.
I'm just saying that what she did is even bigger than that, because if you was in your own neighborhood, you had to.
That's
go
what I
that.
Said.
That's what I was saying. I wasn't trying to downplay.
But
go ahead.
But guess what?
My
I,
bad.
I said that already.
No, I was just making sure.
Anyway.
I didn't want it to make it sound like I was discrediting her.
Nah, you good, bro.
Go ahead.
Never could you sound like that. You've been showing them so much love.
All right, cool.
But what I was saying was, since I got thrown off my train right now, I don't even goddamn
no,
remember.
You good. You said that since you've been through
no, but about communications mm-hmm. and establishing relationships. It's really important to to know how to communicate.
Right. Yes.
Establish relationships and maintain those relationships.
Maintenance.
That's what's important. I feel like with all of the things that you've been faced with and all of the different places you've been, you've learned to master that. You had to have, because
yeah.
you wouldn't be able to do all the things that you do and diversify all of your talents. And what I was going to say was in my Rolodex was, you said we have a lot of time. The coronavirus gave us time to sit down, if you're creative, to do that creative, to do whatever you're, you know, blessed with. Mm-hmm. However, you also said that you learned to do something. You taught yourself how to do something that you never did before.
Yeah.
And what I wanted you to speak on is how you did that, because a lot of people are in those same places that want to do something. I want to do this shit too. So I would love for you to speak on that.
So basically, YouTube,
grab the camera.
It was a YouTube university.
Because there's nothing wrong with YouTube.
It was part of that, but it was more so. I mean, my girl had a camera. And
see, it's about access. I always talk about resources.
My girl had a camera, and she travels a lot. She's a She travels a lot. She's lived outside of the country, all the everything. So she's had a camera the entire time we were together. And she told me, but it didn't dawn on me. But when I picked it up and I start playing around with it, it was just like real simple. So one day I shot like a blog. She's like, how the heck you? I didn't even know my camera could do that. So it was just me exploring the device, looking it up, watching tutorials on it.
Right.
Learning what aperture was, learning what ISO was, white balance, learning what shutter speed was, learning what all these things was, learning the settings on the camera,
right.
Learning lighting, learning audio, learning, just looking.
So
looking.
Was it just literally playing with it? Were you playing, with it, trial and
playing
error?
Playing with it and looking at
trial and error.
Yeah, playing with it, looking at videos, knowing what I needed to learn, asking other people around me that did it, that do it, what should I need? What is the important things I need to know? Can I go on set with you? Can I watch
you? I'm coming for you. I'm going to ask you all these questions, sis.
Can I watch you? Can I watch you shoot? Can I watch how you do your camera? What stabilizer I need to get? Blah, 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 blah. And once I start learning those things, God opened up the door to me, and I went to church, and I start talking to my pastor. And I was like, because I was shooting on my phone. Just, I was shooting his sermons on my phone. And I would load them up.
Did he know you were shooting
them? Yeah, he knew. Okay. My pastor, real cool. Okay. So I was shooting his videos on my phone. And I'm talking to him after service. And we're just chilling. And he like, yo. And I'm like, tell him, I'm like, yeah, pastor, you know, I'm trying to get the camera. I got a camera. He's like, what you need? He bought me a stabilizer.
Oh, that's dope.
He invested in me. He bought me a stabilizer. Bought me lights. Bought me a heart. He bought me all of this stuff. He was like, look, just whatever you need, send it to me. Right. I'll get it. Send it to me. I'll get it. I sent him a whole bunch of stuff, and he bought it for me.
Best wish list ever, right?
And he bought it for me.
Better than Christmas.
Listen, and my pastor is like the best person. Pastor Michael Brown, JITB Ministries.
I was going to tell you about your best because you've been
in JITB Ministries.
The funny thing is, her pastor, one of my lawyers.
Really?
It's my guy.
Oh, wow.
It's my guy. I just seen him week ago.
He's the bomb, like real talk.
My guy.
And he invested in me and bought a majority of my stuff, like my starting kit. So I was just like, yo.
Shout out Propane.
True. Shout out Propane. That's Pastor, that's Pastor Mike, brother. Absolutely. So that's how I really got started. I was like, well, let's get it popping. I came to church next Sunday with a stabilizer. I was getting it rocking.
You want to know who was in the comments on YouTube when she was on Flyday?
Pastor.
Yes. He shouting me out. I'm like, word, salute. He like, this your lawyer. I'm like, I know.
That's what's up.
So, no, yeah. So, that's what it was. So
he supports her 100.
Then I just start. Yeah, because my pastor, he's like, I'm very close with my pastor. Like, you know what I'm saying? He's my spiritual father. So, like, I go to him for guidance for everything. So, I just start shooting at church on Sundays. And then I wind up getting my first client. Actual music video, boom, and then it just took off. From that point, it just took off, and I was like, S Book Films. I started getting left and right, video here, video here,
soon
video
you
here.
Gained the know how the opportunity became evident.
Absolutely.
See, but absolutely. You know what's funny, and I wanted to say this.
But just studying, it's just as important.
How does it feel to know that you created a lot of your own walls and went past those? When and there was a time where you looked at them as they were something that was beyond you.
Right.
Yeah. Like it was beyond
my
control.
To go past those walls so many ways. How does that, like, what do you take from that?
It's a lesson more so than anything. That it's just a lesson that I've learned. I've learned how to. My first thing is me learning to understand that I was in my own way and to identify that's what that was. And once I understood what it was, it allowed me to step out of my way.
Okay.
Just step in a lot of other ways. It's like you can't do it overnight. It's just the art of allowing. That's what it really is. It's the art of allowing.
Me too. I'm sitting here. No,
because like I'm constantly trying to convince people to get out of their own way. Yeah. I'm constantly trying to distinguish between reasons and excuses.
But you know what? That part, that portion of being in your own way is a fear demon.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is. It's
but
a fear demon that you created.
I come from being highly insecure as a kid. Like super insecure. Like I thought about shit.
Me too.
That was driving me crazy. Shit, that looking back on it makes no sense. Like I was worried about if somebody cared about how I walked in from recess.
Yo, if you be insecure
like,
before
I was
adulthood,
worried
you
about
winning.
Some kind of shit.
Yo,
I'm gonna keep it G. You kind of probably was there when you probably seen the turning point for me at some point.
I did.
Like, but at some
and you're
point,
absolutely right.
I
you
said,
probably,
"Fuck
you beat
that."
It before me,
yeah.
It's too much stress.
It's too much.
And as soon as I did that, everybody started worrying about what I was doing. Mm. It was like how you said.
You shifted the energy.
But guess what?
How you said, when you took that wall down, everything opened up.
Yeah.
It was like, as soon as I acclimated myself to, like, I had that by myself meeting, like, we ain't getting upset over this shit no more.
Please.
We ain't worried about that no more. You
right,
know?
Right, right,
in the kid form. When I had that meeting, after that, within the next year, I noticed a shift in energy towards me. And it validated.
Because you remove the aspect of fear. That's all it be is fear. Fear is imagined. Like, I watched this Will Smith movie. I can't remember the name. It's called After Earth. And it's a line that he said it was very profound in there.
With Jaden, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
He said it's a difference between fear and danger.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
It's definitely a difference.
He said it's a difference. He said fear is something that you make up yourself. Mm-hmm. Danger is something you can feel. That's real. That you know is present.
And guess who acronym I love? And I'm mad, but facing everything again. What's fear?
Fear versus love.
Yeah, because his acronym toward it was dope.
Face everything and rise.
Yeah, face everything and rise.
But
so in reaction to having a fear, you face it and rise.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
And the crazy thing is, I talked to one of my youngins recent, and they
compare. Shout out to Lovers.
They compare how I used to move to how I move now.
Mm-hmm.
And they was like, so why you ain't this? Why you ain't that? Why you don't do this? Why you don't do that? And we ain't gonna get into details. But I'm on some shit like, because I don't feel pressure.
Right.
I don't. It's like what you said. It's a difference between fear and danger. I've been scared before. I've been in danger before.
Mm-hmm.
Danger is equated to pressure in my head. Like real pressure.
Right.
Like, got to worry about my mind.
Imminent danger. Like something's critical about to happen.
You see what I'm saying?
Like fear is you scared of something that may or may not even be there.
You're
you
creating something.
On,
so. You created it before it even happened.
Exactly.
So you trying to manifest
but
something negative.
That's
right.
What, and that brings us back full circle to what I keep reiterating about being somebody that is introspective, that cares about what drives you and figuring out
absolutely
what motivates you. Because you realize how to find the difference.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you don't know yourself, you put it all in the same bag as an excuse.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
Or you make it a reason when it's really an excuse. You need to figure out the difference between excuses and reasons.
Yeah.
As a person.
That's dope.
As a person.
I'll take that. I need that right
okay.
now.
Okay. Well, let's do that. You know what I mean?
And my Gatorade to y'all.
One for Buck. And the boogies.
And the boogies.
I like the boogies. I'm like the boogies.
I named y'all. And I love y'all.
I like the
boogies.
The boogies. Nah, I like the boogies.
The
boogies.
Like
the boogies. Is
the boogies. The boogies.
Yeah. Nah.
I don't know. Y'all vote on it.
Y'all there. We already know y'all in the
listen,
building.
They don't miss
yo, yo,
nothing.
Y'all in the building.
Yo, yo, yo.
But it's so crazy. Shout out to Cousin West. Like I said, like.
Shout out.
She adopted now. Like, she don't, you don't understand.
Right. West was with us too. When we said we was in elementary and middle, we was all
he was
together.
There.
Wow.
We lost John together. You see what I'm saying? Mm. Like, I was there.
Wow.
Like, they're there.
They're there.
They're there. There.
That's crazy.
Asking. I wasn't at the house. I was there every day after.
That's crazy, man.
You
wow.
see what I'm saying? And, like, all of that. And that's my brother. That's my. We call each other cousins, but that's my brother.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But, like, anybody he
we
cares about gets a nod from me. And I had already met you. So you good.
Wow.
Good,
so
good.
You her cousin, too.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying?
Bam, bam.
You just met your other cousin just now.
That's crazy.
And you ain't even know it. But I let people chop it up.
You know,
first
I haven't talked to
before
my cousin. You know what's crazy? I haven't talked to my cousin. He just, you know, he be doing his own thing. He disappear.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So I ain't talked to him in a minute.
Yeah, we know.
So when I when I see him, he was like, yo, that's my little cousin.
He went crazy on the joke. Yo, he like, he hit somebody else. He hit Fly Day post. It was like, this going on right now? And it was over already. Like, he was going slide. Like, he was going to say
sure
slide.
Not sure he went far either.
But I bump into him. I see him downtown. I see him in West Philly. I be seeing him in the streets. UV.
That's crazy.
And I used to see him in bars. I don't see
him
in bars that much. But no, Wes,
that's crazy.
I mean, you want to talk about one of the people in my life that got my heart? Like, yeah. Really, like,
Wes is definitely famous.
I love Wes. Yes. Like, he'll get excited. Yo, I saw your mom, and he's going nuts. And you see my mom. And
it's she just told like, me she saw him.
And I'm like, she just told me, bro.
Yo, even his mom told love. Me she saw like, Wes. That's how wow. much love it is. I saw his mom, and she told me she saw Wes.
Yeah.
That's crazy,
it's different
man.
On our side. But what I do want to do right now, since, you know, we about 45 and so. Explain to your cousin what you do.
So, right. So, it was something
in your
that,
lineage.
Yeah. So, it was something that, so you said, I think was it in fourth grade that you were in journalism?
Yeah.
So I was like, yeah, y'all know that you know resonates with me because yeah. It's really interesting because so I have On the Scene magazine, which is a positive platform. It's a digital magazine.
Nice.
Dedicated to positivity. So we're a lifestyle magazine, but everything is from a positive perspective, right? But I got into media because my dad had the Philadelphia New Observer, which was a positive.
That.
See,
everybody remember
see?
The New Observer.
That was a positive platform newspaper, and then his dad had the Observer, and then his dad had the Washington Observer. So I'm the fourth generation, directly fourth generation editor and publisher.
Wow, that's deep.
And
that's
even
deep.
Further, my grandmom's a direct descendant of William Lloyd Garrison, who had the abolition, the Liberator, which was the most influential newspaper dedicated to the abolition of slavery.
Oh, wow.
So I'm like generations.
You are like in the lineage this. Generations of journalism,
absolutely.
Like at this core.
Absolutely.
Wow.
So for all of y'all, when I'm bigging people up, I be undershooting it. Let me, please, like all I'm telling you about these ladies, please believe it's bigger than when I say, yo, she dope.
That's
you know what I mean?
Crazy.
Right.
Wow. I can't speak for them.
When you said you found your passion and purpose, like that's really my passion and purpose. Like before I made a single dollar is what I knew I needed to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people always, I get in arguments. I'm very aggressive. I'm definitely alpha female. When people, I get in arguments about people saying positivity don't sell sex sales. Like, listen, no. What we need, look, I give you what you need Man. And what
but
you
But what
want.
Happens to right. the people that wants positivity while y'all selling sex? They just don't got shit to look at.
I was right. just talking about this on another podcast about
like
how they sexualize females in the industry.
Podcast
Hood
love.
Genius, man.
Yeah,
Hood
shout
Genius.
Out Hood Genius.
I
man.
Was just
we
on
show
Hood
podcast
Genius.
Love on this
and
show.
I was talking about the sexualization of women in the industry. And then I remember when I was a feminine woman, man, I was pursuing music, how they were trying to sexualize me.
I was going
to
ask you about that. I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah, I was a super, super femme, like when I first started doing music, but I wasn't out. You know, I was living a heterosexual
sure.
lifestyle at the time. So I never liked the fact that they tried to sexualize me and make me this sex goddess, sex this, sex, talk about. And I'm just like, bruh, why can't I just wear like camouflage and Tim's
no,
and
I got two homegirls
that
went
through
that.
And a backwards cap. Like
they tried to make one act straight, and I have another one that they tried to make act neutral.
Yeah, it's real.
And they took away exactly where the goal was
right.
with the artist that they were acting like.
But
they
that,
cared
but
about.
That's what they do
because
though.
Because let these people be them. They already dope, and they got a following without your nut at.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
What I mean? They getting bags. They going to
the
meddling. Like
sort of. So the fact that she was talking about how you positivity versus promoting sex is like positivity is always going to win. You know what I'm saying? I think sex is just that module that they always go to
it's
because
the car crash.
It's like, all right, well, we knew this work with this
like,
artist. We knew this work for this artist, this artist, and this artist.
You don't gain anything from that. You get entertained by
it. And listen, this
it's
is my
sensationalized.
Thing.
Yes.
That's my thing. If that's what they want to do. I don't have nothing.
That's right. Do what you want to do, but guess what? And that's why I argue for it. Let me.
I don't
you.
Feel like you should push that agenda on all women, though.
On anybody.
On anybody.
That's
on
how
anybody.
I started this.
Yeah.
I said, what happens to the people that want to see positive shit?
Yeah.
They don't
because
have
guess
no.
Guess what?
Outlets?
Men are being sexualized as well.
Yeah.
Like,
oh yeah.
You know,
they do it to me
from
every
the,
day, baby.
From the, no, I'm saying even from the Old Spice commercial. They even think about the Old Spice commercial. Even from the Old Spice commercial, like men are even faced with sexual, you know, sexuality as well. And I just feel like nobody needs to be subjected to
That's
it.
True.
And I feel like where I come from is a basis of positivity from entertainment, from sports to fashion, education.
Her personality is young Angie Martinez.
I get the vibes.
Her background is young Lisa Thomas Lawrence.
I get those Angie Martinez vibes.
Shout out to Angie Martinez and Lisa Thomas Lurie. I've definitely looked up to
she
both of them.
She gonna be their favorite aunt in a minute. They don't even know.
Look, they are my favorite aunties already.
I'm talking about you gonna be their favorite aunt in a minute. Like people that seeing you come up now, like you right there. Your energy is love.
Yeah, man.
And that's what it's about.
But no, but it's really important to be positive though, because I feel like that's enrichment. I feel like you can't. get anywhere without it. I feel like it's when you talked about you first learned, your girl had the camera. I talk about every pod about resource and access.
Yes.
And you probably would have found that way to get that camera. But guess what?
You had it.
Having that camera.
Having that camera helped.
Leads to my other, what's, no one is half the fucking battle, right?
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite joints. And no one is half the battle. You had that camera. You knew that you wanted to pursue that.
Yeah.
And had that camera moved you to the, to further.
I be quoting you a lot too now.
Oh, shout out to my bro. You ain't never said that one.
No, because like I done got into quote, favorite quote conversations and stuff lately. You know what I mean? Stuff like that. And your quote come up sometime.
Nice.
Because you know, mine important. Is know your place in the struggle. Right. That's my main one.
And guess what? And no one has had the battle in that, ain't it?
That's true.
So
that's
true. How it kind of happens.
Goddamn.
That's how it happens. Goddamn. I don't be wearing the jogger swag, but it be that's like, my y'all be saying some shit that's fly,
too. You need to be
too.
Saying that shit.
For real, though. That's real rap, though. So it's funny because I was sitting back and listening to you, and a lot of the things that you said, I already was going to ask.
Wow.
And so I was waiting. I'm like, damn, it done came full circle.
Nigga, I let her talk for 15 minutes straight. Listen, she was hitting every point.
Hit every point. I was listening. I was mad at my bro for cutting me off, but for the simple fact that you said what I needed to hear, I was like, shit.
No, but
I ain't even mad no more. Like,
the twist be blessings. Like, in my
I'm
head,
in my own way. Like, yeah. I received everything that you said. Like, you blessings, you blessings. Said a lot. Like, I, you said a lot.
Now,
you
Dick,
know what?
Look, we lie. But,
I try to talk from a place where I talk from my heart chakra. So, it's like, when I'm talking, that's like pure energy that's coming and radiating from me when I'm talking. You know what I mean? And I feel like my grandmama always told me that if you don't have nothing, only strong words come from wise people.
Say
you know
that.
What I'm saying?
Say that.
Only strong words come from
you
wise
know what's
people.
Crazy? My OG said this back in the day when Biggie was, you know, he was the man. He said something about Big reminds me of the elders in the tribes in Africa. That only speak when there's fire lit drums playing.
And they telling
that.
A story.
And they'll tell you the entire history of the tribe all the way back to origination. Mm-hmm. And when they speak, everybody listens.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Speak with purpose.
He always told a story. And
speak
they hear storytellers.
And it's just, we come from that. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's part of us. Like, even doing it to a drum. It's
yeah.
part
it's
of us.
It's part of us, yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, like, that's ill. But, like, part of, like, the reason that I keep interjecting when you talk, because I really want y'all to talk. So I just be wanting to say something and get out the way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I just want ad lib real quick, man. I'm used to being in the booth. I got an ad lib.
Listen.
But no, I definitely think that a secret that Shell don't know is that I don't even do, you know, I know a bunch of artists. I don't even have artists on the pod like that.
Wow. That's
you know
crazy.
Why? Because we got to talk for an hour or some more straight.
Right.
And you can't, you know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? Me to
and
death.
You can't hold a conversation because a lot of these artists, is, they are not in tune and they can't hold conversation because they haven't been through nothing.
Or they freeze on camera as if they're not
anxiety
performing.
For me, it's maybe a lack of substance as well.
That too.
Yeah.
You know,
that's,
for
that,
me,
that's what a lot of it.
We could we probably could have talked the hour straight about whatever initiatives, projects, and everything you had on a round today mm-hmm. with her interjecting and me interjecting in between. That's content.
You led. Absolutely.
That's content. And we didn't even do that. We bounced around and because I like to keep it conversational.
Yeah,
anybody
yeah.
that's never seen this pod before, this is actually to teach the art of conversation. Even if we cut each other off, it's a way to do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a way to do that. And there's a way to receive that.
Mm-hmm.
But also know that you got to give people their time to get their shit off.
Absolutely.
But some shit ain't worth it.
But guess what? You know what? Gonna, you know, you're great at this as well, too, because we, you know, we have good people. So I can't say it's been on this platform. I know in my experience, I've had interviews where, or seen people who don't, like you've given so, like he said, I let it go for 15 minutes because she was going. Some people just, yeah. No, like they have no substance. They have no
none.
Nothing
no.
to do.
Tell me about your project. Yo,
it's coming out Friday.
It's
let's
called
go.
We Heating the Streets Up.
Out Friday.
Who that's produced it. On it? Shit.
We had a lot of people.
I had a couple
niggas.
People on there, John. Shout out to my man, Pookie.
Yo, look out for that. Look out for the video. Shout him up. We was on the block with it. All gangsters.
Stop it.
It's I'll terrible,
like,
man.
That's what we shouting out. The yo, one that's gonna get everybody indicted?
Bruh, it's terrible.
I feel like the Smarter video. Listen, don't do that.
It's terrible. You know what's crazy? My brother used to mock interview me because he was trying
See?
he was trying to gear me up as a teenager. When I
started fucks with your brother,
that's
yo.
That's what I'm saying.
Because he knew what it was.
He was trying my, he was my.
And he believed.
Yeah.
He was your early
A&R.
No,
he
was your early A&R.
Early. If he was training you for media.
The artistry and repertoire, he was doing that. Like,
I used to act. Yeah. And when you go to these auditions or you go to these agents or you go to these classes, they used to tell you, put a camera on in your house and just do shit in front of it and just get comfortable with being in front of the camera.
Just get comfortable.
Him doing a mock interview with you is equivalent to that.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
A cold read.
Knew.
He was your original A&R, yo.
Yeah.
He knew.
Like, real talk, like, he used to sit and do, like, mock interviews with me. And he would ask me questions, like, that he said, they're going to ask you questions like this. You got to be sharp. You got to be, I was like, 17, 18 years old.
Most important thing to know is that you don't have to answer anything that you don't want to know. Anything you don't want to have, you don't want to answer, you don't have to answer.
Period.
How you handle
it. But you know what's crazy?
Is the thing.
Right.
I answer everything. Because I'm honest.
Right.
You know what I mean? I'm going to have one of them publicists that's going to be like, nah.
But guess what?
You might go through a tragedy one day and had to do something that same day. And they might have found out about it 5 minutes before you walk in that room. You don't have to speak to that.
But guess what? You know what? Also, one of my other lines is, my mother always said, it's not what you say, it's how you say it.
It's how you say it.
It's how you say it.
It's how you say it. That's real, man.
First of all, I'm not trying to drill nobody. Ever. And I've had multiple different kinds of platforms. I had FM radio. Mm-hmm. I'm on internet radio. I have my own platform. I do things for other people that's videotaped and recorded. But at the same time, I'm not here to embarrass or drill anyone. I'm going to ask you things. I'm going to be very responsible in how I ask them. But I'm also be vague in how I ask them because I don't want to tell you how to answer them.
Period. Yeah. Period. Yeah.
One of the first things we discussed when we started this was over asking questions. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes people talk themselves out of the best answer they could have got.
Yep. Yeah. Or they're not. Or they're not listening to the person while they talk.
Active listening is very important.
I'm real good at that. You know what I'm saying? As far as like, because I'm a lot of times when people are talking, I may like look away, but you may think I'm not listening. But it's a form of listening to me because I'm absorbing it while you're talking.
I'm that way too.
I'm absorbing it while you're talking. So therefore, a person might think, oh, because I'm not looking at you in your face, I'm not listening. But no, like when I look away, I'm feeling the energy and I'm listening at the same time. You feel me? So the art of listening is so important. And I feel like a lot of times if the artists, they don't have anything to talk about when they come on these platforms, is because really they haven't been through anything. And I'm not saying that they just haven't. They don't have no girth to their personality.
Or they may not know how to express anything that they really was.
They're emotionally disturbed. They can't express. You know what I'm saying? They're like, with those, you know, because I know a couple of my homies, they'd be like, you won't get a word out of these niggas. Like,
and there's a part of people where you got some people that everything they've been through is dark. And we not really going to talk about no dark stuff on this platform.
It's right,
not,
right, right.
None of mine, really, because even with the times that my shit premiered, my crowd ain't trying to be dark. We trying to enjoy, learn,
period.
Build, grow, things like that.
Right.
While we still, before we get too tired.
Yeah.
Not to mention a lot of almost every single guest that we've had that I've been here and I've been on, like 90% of them have said this is like, if not the most, one of the most. And most, I don't even think they said one of the most. They said this was the most comfortable platform they've ever been on.
Oh, for sure.
They didn't even say one of the most. I had to retract. Like, they didn't even say one of the most.
Yeah.
They always like, yo, well, y'all
the
made
one
me
of
so
the most came from a couple people said between Glockaware and this.
Okay, but it's the same thing.
Yeah,
yeah, same
so for
shit.
That, I don't even, I can't
yeah,
even.
Same
you can't,
shit.
It's all in the same category.
Yeah. Right.
Because it's the
so
same.
Make
but I know what you're talking about.
We make people feel comfortable. Like, I'm not, like you said, you're not here to hound people. I'm not here to pry.
Yeah.
And I'm an asshole. I'm funny as fuck.
He
trust
ain't
me.
Never lied.
Like, but I'm not here
I'm
to
asshole.
Do that. Like, you know what I mean? I want to have fun with people, not at the expense.
Yeah.
You see
for
what
sure,
I'm saying? Because
sure.
we can recycle that.
For sure.
If I have fun at your expense, we can't recycle that.
Right.
Yeah.
You're not going to come back
exactly.
and do it again.
It's a one-stop shop.
You're going to go platinum next week. I'm going to be like, shit. You know I'm here for you, baby. I was here last week.
I was here last week.
You gonna be like, motherfucker.
Right.
You one of the motherfuckers I'm not coming to see.
Right.
No, but I just
Wendell Williams ass nigga.
But no, part of the reason that you see a lot of entertainers with pods and that's doing media winning is because we understand what you go through. I've been in your seat
mm-hmm.
before.
Mm-hmm.
I've been you having to go into an interview not knowing who gonna be there, whatever, whatever.
What they gonna talk about? What they gonna ask me?
What they know about me, if they care about me. You know what I mean? All
right.
of that. And I've been impressed. I've been let down. I've been misled. I've had people say, Well, yeah, y'all can smoke. Do your thing. And it's two of us. I light a L, you light a L, and the whole building come downstairs like, God damn, who down there? Man, I'm not comfortable smoking. Like, I thought it was hip-hop.
Right.
And I don't want to make it about weed, but I'm just saying there's certain situations where it's like you're misled.
Right.
Into, like, they want you there for whatever reason, but it's not conducive or they're not being honest with you, and it's strange.
Yeah.
That's why I said I don't interview people. I talk to them. I had conversations with people.
Yeah.
If you do 20 interviews for your rollout, then they're going to ask you the same questions.
A lot of times, yeah.
And I guarantee 5 times out of 15,
I got two more interviews after this. I'm going to New York for thisis50.com.
Word. Salute to that. Congratulations. That's a big deal.
Yeah. DJ Thorough. So
make sure you send me the link. You know.
Got you.
Bro. I'll share all your shit. I'm big at sharing stuff in the story. And I don't always tag people because, it's like I said, I don't do it for that. You don't have to know that I'm promoting.
Right.
But somebody going to tell you they seen you on my shit.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. One of them type of things.
So,
but let me know.
I got a couple interviews coming up after this, and I'm about to shoot my video for Ride the Wave with Prince Alexander. We're going to shoot that, John.
Okay. Where you shooting at, Arizona?
I was about to ask that.
I don't even know. We just
going to
ask that.
You got to ask her which hometown you shooting it in.
It's in Arizona.
You going everywhere?
I ain't never been to Arizona.
You might be for that one.
How the shit? No, but I mean, you done been around, so your connections could be anywhere. Like I had even years ago when I was light in the industry, I had a lady, actually a white lady, Carrie. Shout out to Carrie, that used to get me venues, nice venues. Like I had strip clubs for free for 4 hours. Nice. You know what I mean? I've had
to do whatever.
So no, I done had people like before I was even really into this shit like this, like Lady Carrie. White lady, cool lady. She got me a strip club for one of my videos for 4 hours for free.
Wow.
Until this day, the general manager lady that she loved me. I go in there, we all have a ball on me, and it ain't on me.
Right.
You know what I mean?
That type
shit. Like, it's
That's
love.
That's a good feeling.
She appreciates us. We treated the situation right. You know what I mean? And she's dope on top of that. Like,
dope.
It's bigger than me.
It's dope, man.
But she's got me a gym to shoot a rave in for free.
That's blessing,
for
man.
For 12 hours.
You know what I'm trying to find?
That's a long time.
Like, I'm trying to find a private jet to shoot a video on.
Well, they have the ones that you could rent just to shoot stuff on. That's like,
I don't need to go on the air.
They have the half a jet. Like the joint that's broke.
That's for
that
sure.
You could go up there and still take pictures. They rent them out right now.
Yeah, I need to find a source for that.
But also, I don't think a jet too far away from my networks neither. I'm going to be honest with you. We all know a lot of people.
I'm trying to do some different video stuff. You know what I'm saying?
I want to cover something. Let me, I don't know, performance, video. I'll get some, whatever makes sense.
Okay.
Let me cover something of yours and support you with a tripping. Because I do tripping with Sammy episodes, too.
This nice.
With Sammy.
Nice.
I do
nice.
Trippings,
nice.
And
nice.
We do a lot of nonprofits. We did the march for George Floyd. We
that's
did
dope, man.
Basketball tournaments.
That's dope.
We did concerts.
Concerts. We get backstage, side stage.
Dope.
Upstairs,
dope,
we've
man.
Done a lot of things on trippings. I get actual raw footage. Sometimes I tie in fly day footage, but it's just another way to do something that's not as long form as this, and still showcase people in a different light than just sitting right here, really showing them in the environment and what they contribute to the community.
Nice,
because that's all it really is. Like I'm not on the scene. But I try to keep it positive, too.
But I was about to say, and I'm actually,
you know what
we
I
just
mean?
Talked about for a brief second, I'm going to be starting a new area for artists on the scene. So
nice.
You're going to be next on the scene.
Boy, and I got another job. I know what you're talking about.
Well.
Don't look at me like that. Soph, because she said this before we started. And then she just said, and it's going to be for artists. So I got another job now.
You already know. He in the building.
I got another job.
Listen,
man.
I'm
yo,
very
yo,
aware. Don't let me call you.
Listen,
I know what's going on around.
I got them
here.
Shirts. Yo, I'm in the building.
Yeah, we got to make you some more of them shirts, man.
I'm making them for the tizzing.
I need one.
I done copped up on the gear when I went to the flyover.
Oh, yeah, she supported everybody.
She supported everything. That's how I met her. I was at the table for Kev. She gave me the money for Kev and shit. I had to get
Kev. Yeah.
That's what it is.
No, I bought the It's a Philly vibe, John. Yeah, that John tough, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a Philly vibe. I was like, Kev had the fittest. He was high in the fittest. I was like, what where you get the fitted from? I don't want the dead head. I want the fitted.
The Philly Vibe concert that? Series was actually dope. That whole concert series was dope. We went to a few of them joints, man. Shout out to 1122 MG.
Shout out to 1122 MG, Hennessy Kev, Nakima.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Nakima. You know what I'm saying? The whole squad. 1122
is all love. Son of the 215, Miwi, all y'all, man. Nice. Dutch.
I just recorded at the studio. I recorded there.
Okay.
That same day.
I'll let you hear some music. You might have heard it when you was on Friday, but I recorded two records there recently that I'm happy about.
Nice. Nice,
happy
man.
Happy about.
Nice. I got to go back and finish my job.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got to go back and finish the song.
Like I say, we slide down on sessions and all that, and that's five minutes from... Hey,
right up the street.
Hey, we ain't got to tell them that. I already told them. But yeah, we ain't far. We ain't far at all. But no, that's dope. What I want to know, and I would want you to tell the people, is besides you said A&R executive producing, what's the end goal? When are you satisfied?
When I become a billionaire, that's when I'm satisfied.
That's what it is?
Yeah, like...
Billions?
Me and my pastor always say...
So by the time you a billionaire, you responsible for 3,000 people taking money home.
Minimum. If I can help people out that's the any blessing. Way I can, like...
No,
listen,
that's the blessing.
Like, Tyler Perry, I watched this clip of him yesterday on the internet. And he was talking to... I don't know who he was talking to exactly, but the dude was saying, like, when he creates... He's always worried about critics and what critics have to say. And the guy, he's like, man, I'd be thinking of, you know, when I'm releasing something, like, man, I hope they like this. Tyler Perry's like, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, I heard him say that before.
I never heard him curse before. And he was just like, fuck
once him. In a while, he takes it.
Yo, he's like, I don't care. He said, why do we got to keep catering and to be like, oh, can you please like my stuff? He said, because I make my stuff for us.
That was to make his point even more valid. That's why he said, I don't give a fuck.
I saw somebody.
Yeah, he's very tactful with his shit.
He did not.
I saw somebody
like,
online
he was real
saying,
profound when he said that. And I was like, it was something admirable about it and courageous, because he just was like, look, I don't care about winning no Oscar. I don't care about any of these things. All I care about is what I did for my people, and I cater to my people. He said, this is why millions of people watching
Facebook.
My shows every week and watching my movies. He said, because, and this is why he's a billionaire.
Mm-hmm.
He's a billionaire.
That was my argument.
From a car.
Like, the person literally says something
a
to the effect
bro.
Of,
like, come on.
All right, Tyler Perry, cool and all, but I'm just waiting for him to level up. Like, level up was, like, the term.
So what is the exact definition of leveling up
like,
to these
so
people?
They explained
to me,
it as,
a billionaire is, you know, that's, what?
No, listen, so they explained it as broadening his fan base among, you know, making it a, but I'm trying
I
to think.
I think he's
of,
done that.
Hold on. I'm trying to think of anybody that came from a playwright to where he's at. With another fan base. What fan base is bigger than the one
but
he's running off of?
Forget his fan base. I think that a lot
he's
of his...
He's good. He made
a
billion.
His, guess what?
And made the biggest studio
he
ever.
Black Hollywood.
But in addition to that, he also has diversity amongst his shows, too. It's not just all black people.
You know what they're saying. They're talking about... They're
a crossover.
To,
he need a crossover.
They want him to crossover, but they're also not just giving them black people. They're giving them. They're giving him older black church people only. It ain't that many motherfuckers with expendable incomes that could drive themselves to these fucking movies. That's
I'm
that
looking beyond that. I'm looking beyond that. That's like I said.
No,
he has
but
a
they minimize
cast.
They minimize everything we do. That's what I'm saying. I'm talking about they. I ain't
well,
talking
they need
about,
to open their goddamn
I ain't talking
minds.
About the
How
truth.
About that?
I'm talking about the people that want to fight against a man that's a billionaire that has his own exit
man,
on a highway
and
in Atlanta.
And guess what? Is he a billionaire by being in one lane? That's great for him, too.
How many billionaires do we get from one lane?
I don't
that's
care.
What you want
to
call it.
Not, because guess what? You're supposed to
you
have at least
call
like 42
nothing Tyler did one
income.
Lane. No. With unless you just ignorant.
I don't,
ignorance
this,
is
this my thing. You can't be a one lane individual when you build. You had took over a military base, and I listen. I lived in East Point.
Yeah.
I know exactly where his studios is before it became Tyler Perry Studios.
Right,
it's a military base.
It's a Confederate base.
Right, I know. I drove
That's
past
where they
it every day
to
get to work.
Niggas. That's where
so
they
the
plan to kill niggas
he,
daily.
So the fact that he took that studio
and
turned it into
something positive for whoever he wants to benefit.
Excess.
Not to mention it's going to make him $15 billion
more. $4.
Listen.
He got the biggest
I
White House.
I don't understand what leveled up.
He got the only thing. Every house.
I think
listen,
people that make comments like that.
I don't think
that.
People realize this.
They're just uneducated.
No,
just
we talk.
Ignorant.
But hold up.
Stupid,
we
man.
Talk about Hollywood studios all the time and just with production. When you talk about, you know, where this getting shot at, where this came from. What people don't realize is for years, none of these houses, properties, whatever that they're projecting in were functional. Every building on his lot you could live in.
Yeah.
It has running water, sewage, electric.
And they will endure all of that shit.
That's why he's able to take in orphans, abuse people, and saying, yo, you can stay here. Oh, it's COVID. We could still film. Oh, like, this all matters. This is a big fucking deal.
The thing is, too,
this shit is different.
But during COVID, he was the only one that was actually still shooting
because of that.
Because of the resources he had. He had every
campus.
He had every actor in their own individual room.
House.
Getting themselves situated so they could go out and film and do what they need to do.
And then if you got to move people around because this person ain't cool, then you got space to
do,
like.
I just think it's admirable. I really do. I think it's admirable for him to have that.
And I was one that had jokes as a young man because, you know, we sick of seeing a 6'5 man in the Jurassic. At a point where we didn't have a lot of leverage, it was frustrating. But at the same time, I'm man enough to say that, like, I appreciate the fact that this man made it from being in a car writing these plays to being able to provide refuge outlets for so many fucking people, yo. And I can't fight against that. That's fucking crazy.
He literally has created jobs for so many people in Hollywood.
You know what it takes to run a lot that size? He has a bigger lot than two out of three of the biggest lots in Hollywood.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
He's definitely. There's only one lot in Hollywood, I think they said, that's bigger than his lot.
Yeah.
And none of them are fully functional.
Right. Yeah.
Or owned by one person.
None of them.
Yeah, about one person. Like, this is
like, he might have spent more time in his car than he needed to just to bust y'all ass. And that's what it takes to make something out here.
Absolutely.
The stuff that Shell Book talk about, the things that your legacy has provided for you and the things that you fought through to get here. These things aren't easy.
Right.
To say that I'm holding myself down, that I got people that support me, but I got my own situation, and I'm going to make sure that this situation don't stop till it explodes.
Right.
Is a hell of a commitment.
Right.
Because life happens.
Period.
Absolutely.
And everybody got life. And everybody got the same 24 hours.
Yeah.
So you got to carve out two more, which might take a couple out of sleep and one out of family a day.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a grind.
It's definitely around, but
that's
worth
something
it,
to be respected. And that's why I said every level ain't about financial.
It's definitely worth
sometimes it. Sometimes you finance back the level up later because it's going to take something to make something.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
You go, what they say, you got to give ass to get ass.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it is what it is. And that's sports analogy as far as I know. I don't want y'all to think no crazy shit. No, it is what it is, man. If you bump up against somebody, you gonna get scraped.
Nah, I'm fucking with
you. Yup.
And in business, that's all you do.
I dig that.
You constantly running through hallways, buildings, and tiers, whether you physically in them or not.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Being somebody's competition.
Mm-hmm.
Being somebody that can scrape a little bit off of somebody's pretty look because you might got a different twist to it that's more innovative or that's more genuine.
Right.
Like we say, we in an age of artists where it's about fucking with the artists too.
Yeah.
I wasn't a Wiz Khalifa fan until I heard Cushion Orange Juice while I was smoking one night with the youngins. Thought it was dope. But was still like, I don't really get it.
Okay.
Then I saw a Wiz Khalifa blog and I understood him.
Okay.
And then the music made more sense. Because
sometimes understanding the artist is
critical.
It's critical, and it is as important as it helps you understand the music more. Like, okay,
absolutely.
So why does this artist create this type of music? Because let's be honest with you, hip hop is oversaturated. It's 1,000 niggas around here sounding the same. Let's be real.
All right, so let's also be real. The reason you on Sipping with Sammy is because I knew if more people know about you, the more they would fuck with you on my platform.
Period. Period.
Because I had you on Glockaware, but we can only talk with so much.
Right.
So we're going to hit the fine points and all that. But they got to get your personality.
Right, absolutely. The whole story.
You see
I think I'm just pretty transparent. And like when I'm talking, like, you know, I don't hold no punches back. I just be real. You know what I mean?
A lot of
you started that.
Cause
that brings
aspect.
The whole interview back in full circle because you started. That was the very first thing that you said.
Wow.
This is why she's Lisa Thomas Lori. Bro, yo, listen, she don't forget shit, bro. This is the fourth time today that she has pointed out exactly what you said.
That points out that she's a great listener. You feel me? Like, she actually is listening to what people are saying.
She my crutch.
The things you
remember. She remember.
The things
I'm going to just talk
miss,
shit.
Yeah. Like, real. Like, and I do think that's under, that's very important for the for people to get to know who the artist is. I think a lot of artists, they're not personable. They're not personable. So, like, a lot of them I can't relate to. It's just all the same theme. I got money. I got bitches. Look at me. I got cars. I got clothes. Look at me. You know,
it's not. You want me to tell you why they're not personable?
It's no. Because
they still not supposed to be on camera yet. The feds are still watching their ass. So that, like, what I'm gonna say?
The females that got.
I can't even tell you all my blood.
But listen, that's.
But I shot a video and showed the fucking corner sign.
No, but yeah, that's stupid. But listen,
with 50,000 in a 5-year-old hands.
That's really dumb. But listen, what I'm saying is,
I've seen it.
What about the females though? Because they have the same. To me, most of the females are saying the same thing. So not all of them.
Majority.
But when you think about mainstream, it's kind of like the same message that you get.
Well, no, see, and this is why I like being in the position I'm in. This is why I love Glock.
Because you can support independent people with their own message.
When we get into that message, that's the mainstream message.
Exactly. That's why I pointed out
specifically. That's the station that plays five songs, the same five songs.
Every hour.
Every hour.
Mm-hmm.
In my world, that don't exist. You want to boss up? You want to be a female and be a... Shout out to Rhythm HB.
Sure.
Somebody shouted out her song on Fly Shit Only One and was like, yo, who the fuck is that? I'm like, that's Rhythm HB. Remember the my homegirl that was in here? They like, no, the one that was like, nah, nah, nah. I'm like, yes. That's HB. They like, I thought it was a nigga. She talking her shit, nigga.
Right.
Like, no, that shit dope.
Right. Right.
Right.
None of that shit really matter. It gotta be dope.
Yeah.
Pardon me. Ill is ill.
Yeah.
Fake is fake. Corny is corny. In hip hop, it has to be dope. All I care about is dope, man.
Let's go.
That's all I care about.
That's it, man.
And I care about energy, too, and personality, because at the same time, I don't want to support somebody that I'm going to regret supporting.
Like, we didn't even talk. Yeah. And I said that felt the energy.
I don't want to never support somebody I'm going to regret supporting. I don't want to just fuck with somebody because they lit and then the R. Kelly hammer fall. Like, I really ain't even that nigga when I met him. Why the fuck did I go there? You know what I mean? Like, especially when it's like that, when it's like, I ain't feeling him in the first place.
Right.
Like, I'm not fighting vibes for that shit.
Yeah, man.
So just know that one thing for sure, two things for certain, we on your side.
I said we rocks with you.
We on your
side. I
rocks
with y'all, man. Like, serious. Yeah. I thank y'all for having me on here. Just let me talk. You know what I mean?
No, we talking. But you got in your zone at one point, and I decided to listen and learn.
I think, you know, like I said, I just talk from my heart. That's it. You know, I don't, ain't nothing fake about it. Every interview, I'm going to be the same person. I probably talk about something different that's going to relate to other people. You know what I'm saying? But I'm talking from my heart all the time. Like, I don't, it ain't never nothing going to be funny about me or sideways.
Well, tell people different how to keep up with you, where to find your art, where to get with you.
Listen, I'm everywhere. Shellbook.com. I got a website.
That's what's up. You know, I respect that.
Shellbook.com. Yeah. I got merchandise.
You hear that? Support.
Shirts, masks, phone cases, socks, hoodies, whatever. Shellbook.com. My album Romeo is out right now. Romeo. R-O-M-E-O. Romeo. Oh, Shellbook. S-H-E-L-L-B-O-O-G. Shellbook.com. Instagram, Shellbook. Twitter, Shellbook. Facebook, S Book Films.
Let's go.
You know what I'm saying? That's where I like do all my videos and stuff for artists. You know what I mean? So you can catch me on any platform. You can hit me up on my website. I got a direct email that goes straight to me. Contact me. Send me a DM. Follow me on Instagram. I'm everywhere. You know what I'm saying? I try to make it easy for people to find me when it comes to me creating, because nothing difficult, just Shellbook. Right. That's it.
Right.
So that's pretty much it. And yeah, man. Artists, get your website. It's important to have a website.
That's why I said I respect that.
You know I got absolutely one. But
get your website, man. Too.
Definitely
got
support
your dot, get your .com or your .org.
What she say? Socks, cup holders, pendants, all that. Get with Shellbook.
Masks. No. Phone cases. Hoodies. Socks.
And since you know this, one thing that I say all the time is a lot of artists get frustrated feeling like nobody's supporting them. But you got to give people multiple ways to support you.
Absolutely.
Because everybody can't make a show.
Right.
Everybody doesn't necessarily bang with that genre of music, but they bang with you.
True. Yeah.
So put a t-shirt, put a keychain, put a
mug or something.
Event together that makes sense where it's something
you
bring it
perfectly with your shot glasses. I think that was dope for you.
You know, sipping with Sammy shot glasses.
Oh, that's dope, man.
Yeah, I think that was a really good idea.
Let's talk about the album cover. It's little dirty. I got cognac glasses. Like, these joints, they coming soon. They be here soon.
Nice.
We got the t-shirt. This Flyboy Friday radio t-shirt. Yeah. But I got the Sipping with Sammy the podcast. I got the Amateur Twerking Sucks t-shirts.
Let's go. Listen,
I Heart Barstool. Every Woman Needs a Barstool. All type of shit. So, yeah, we doing that. We doing that. But, it ain't about me. I was talking about her.
No, but I was just shouting my bro out because you was talking about the branding and all.
You be surprised.
You need branding for as a brand.
Put three or four of them shot glasses in Glockaware before I was a part of Glockaware. You'd be surprised how many people have been in Glockaware when I wasn't there and took a picture and sent it to me or tagged me, and they're like, yo, this is crazy. I ain't even peeped. You know what I mean?
That's dope, man.
So it worked. I put it in all my local bars, all my favorite bars. They stole all of them. So I'm in a lot of you niggas' women's cupboard.
Oh.
My face.
Uh-oh. Oh.
She liked to drink out me.
That's favorite another subject.
favorite shot glass.
That's another subject.
Anyway. Go ahead.
So you already know. Y'all can find me on thescenemagazine.com for your favorite and most needed positive platform.
Nice.
Everything from entertainment to education, we got you covered. Holler at us on thescenemagazine.com.
Like I said, man, this is a good show.
It was.
I had fun, man.
Dope, man.
Shout out to these two. I appreciate y'all. Appreciate Fine
you back,
Productions.
Bro. Appreciate you.
Fine Philly. Fine Philly. Is spelled PHANT.
Get it right.
PHILLY on Instagram. Shout her out. She's a consultant. She do everything. The audio visual for the situation. Shout out to Dutchie. Check out the Dutchie Man and Friends concert. You want to see her work.
Shout out to Dutchie Man. Shout out to the 25. That was
one of the first major virtual concerts that really went down in this city that looked like, God damn it, who did it? So check her out for that.
Dope.
Check us out every Thursday on the Sippin' with Sammy podcast. We drop during happy hour, 4 p.m.
Oh, drink with us.
And then check me out every Friday, 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. on the best happy hour in the world on the greatest station in the nation, Flyboy Friday Radio, Glockaware Radio, 4 to 6 p.m.
Ow.
Shout out to Freaky Free, DJ Freaky Free, that is.
That is.
Shout out to DJ Trail.
Don't forget the DJ.
And shout out to the logo, man. Prayers up for the logo. He's healing. He with us always, but we working on it.
Yeah,
we
man.
Working on it. And he working for y'all. So y'all might as well make sure he good. But we'll see y'all next week and every week that y'all decide to fuck with us. Anything that y'all want to figure out in between, let me know. Since I mentioned it earlier, sippingwithsammy.com is the page. Subscribe, like, comment on this video, please. If you a Shell Bug fan, I am too. We're friends.
We're friends.
Family.
So that's how we going to carry it. But it is what it is, man. We out of here.
Blessings.
Sipping with Sammy, Sam Malone, Barstool Rug. If you ain't sipping with Sam, you ain't sipping right. Get your fucking life together.
Sheesh.
Shorty wanna act like she too good for a nigga, like it ain't other fishes in the sea. If you wanna roll with me, she ain't never been around a G like me. Star back with a bougie, you know you a groupie. My life is a movie. If you wanna roll with me, she ain't never been around a G like me, like me. I don't play around. You know I want you trying to stay around. But you acting Hollywood, this my playground. I want you to know, run to the show. Ain't gon' take that mouth for more. Five more seconds, you out the door. Now she's working on my floor. This ain't Instagram, this is OnlyFans. I'ma grab the cam. She's working on my floor. You fucking with a star, baby, I'm the man. Yeah. Shorty wanna act like she
She too good for a nigga like it ain't nothing fish is in the sea. If you wanna roll with me, she ain't never been around a G like me. Star bag, you're real bougie, you know you a groupie. My life is a movie. If you wanna roll with me, she ain't never been around a G like me, like me. Wake up, tore up, you know how it's going down. Your hair done, your makeup stay on point, I don't play around. Got a long stroke, I'ma lay it down. Got it on camera, replay it now. Tell all your friends I'm your nigga now. I'm your nigga now, now. My money long, little nigga, better get your weight up. You acting like you a fuckboy, but you just a hater. She gon' roll with me like she's supposed to be, yeah. Yeah, shorty wanna act like she too good for a nigga like it ain't other fishes in the sea. If you wanna roll with me, she ain't never been around a G like me. Star bag, you're real bougie, you know you a groupie. My life is a movie. If you wanna roll with me, she ain't never been around a G like me, like me.